Welcome to Working with Purpose. Our show is dedicated to exploring topics around the intersection of faith and business and viewing leadership through the lens of the body of Christ. This is David Stark. I'm here with my co-host, Justin Royer. Good morning.
Hello.
We're glad you joined us today, and I'd like to remind you that you can join us on the conversation online anytime at www.davidstarkcollective.com or find us on Twitter at Stark Collective. Now, Justin, you remember last time we were really talking about big data and the power of big data, really the sensory system being built all over the world in our image, and what that means today in the marketplace. But today I want to discuss about marketing, which I know is your one of your sweet spots.
So, I do like it.
Yes, we do. And we're going to talk about marketing being a social animal, though.
Oh, boy.
And what that means. So I'm going to dive in. But I want to start with a story. And that is, I was actually doing some work with a nonprofit in town here about three, 4 weeks ago. I was doing a focus group that had professionals between the ages of, let's call it 28 and 38. And I was asking various questions about the nonprofit and what they saw as strengths and weaknesses, et cetera. And a little later into the meeting, I said, well, can you talk to us about how the nonprofit might market better to this audience? And it was like Yosemite's Old Faithful went off. It's like a geyser of energy basically saying, you know, don't market to us. We're marketed to all day, every day. You know, please don't go into that game. It was just like, I mean, they were really anti-marketing is what you would say.
Sure.
It's like being allergic almost to what was going on, because it's like, I remember, you know, one guy saying, you know, I don't want to be sold by a nonprofit, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like that's something that's for this generation, especially because they've been marketed to since they've been zero. You know, it's just their reactions.
That's right. Yeah. And it's, you know, you conjure up these images, and I think this group probably did too, of like snake oil salesmen.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
The antithesis of authenticity.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's a big thing that you probably found with your group, is that that authenticity piece was missing.
Yes. In fact, that's exactly what they don't want. In fact, I even asked them, I said, well, then how are we going to market then? Well, he basically said, you know, show me and invite me. In other words, make this an authentic communication.
Right.
Not some kind of...
Not just a one-way broadcast.
Exactly. So that's really important. And in fact, I think it's all with all these new channels of persuasion, as you know, you're working in them all the time. The younger generations have had to experience that forever. And they, so consequently, they're really asking for a relationship.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what makes it fundamentally social, is that they're saying, if you want to build a relationship with me and we engage genuinely, then that's a good thing. But just try to manipulate me or be slick with me, and I smell it a mile away. Right?
That's right. Yeah, snake oil doesn't taste good, Dave.
No, it doesn't.
I know people says that it does, but it doesn't.
Exactly.
It's not, and it's labeled appropriately. I have the same aversion to that caricature of marketing.
Yep.
Right? So if I would have been in that focus group, I would have had the same allergic reaction to it. And I don't want to be just, you know, broadcast messages to, and I don't want to have an inauthentic relationship with anyone, whether it's a peer or a family member or a brand that I like.
Yes.
So I'd like to unpack that a little bit for everyone too, and just talk about marketing and dare I say the philosophy of marketing.
Sure.
What is marketing?
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people, when they hear the term, largely because of their experiences in the world and kind of like what you saw, they have a different definition of it in their head than really it is in its proper sense supposed to be.
Yeah.
So marketing, when you read definitions of this and you go to Wikipedia or whatever, you find a lot of different definitions, but essentially it's bringing buyers and sellers together.
Mm-hmm.
It's a two-way street, right? So this is not meant to be a one-way street. It's not meant to be a monologue. It's meant to be a dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And a fitting of someone's needs with someone else's solution, right? And so classically trained marketers will talk about the four P's a lot.
Yeah, a friend of mine does that a lot.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So you have the four P's of product, price, place, and promotion.
Yes.
So the product, of course, being the product or service that you're creating and putting out in the marketplace. The price, I think, self-explanatory.
Yes.
The place, which is really essentially distribution or where you can find the product or service.
Yes.
And then lastly, you have promotion, which is the P that honestly gets the most attention.
Right.
Because it's the shiniest P.
Right.
But this is also the one that is also used largely at times for evil.
Right.
Just because you get the other P associated with it, which is persuasion.
Mm-hmm.
And by and large, persuasion can go in an authentic route, or it could go in a very non-authentic route. But my thesis is that P gets too much attention at the expense of other P's.
Right.
And we'll unpack that more in the rest of the show and talk more about that in detail. But I just wanted to give everyone a definition of what that actually means going forward.
That's great. I think that's a much cleaner definition, and a definition that you can get your arms around without saying, well, marketing's just trying to be
right.
It's trying to get my money.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I wanted to throw a couple more facts at you, Dave. Are you
Please,
ready?
I'm ready.
It's going to get crazy.
I'm learning this morning.
This is going to be great. We all are,
Nate,
I think.
Nate, take notes for me, Nate. That'd be nice to do. So here we go.
Okay. So we talked a little bit about the definition of marketing. I just want to do a timeline now in terms of marketing communication and let's say the modern reality of marketing. When did that really start, and what are some of the things that have happened in this timeline?
Yes.
So, Dave, the beginning of this timeline, I think, happened at a time that is also important to our topic of faith and business.
Yes.
The beginning of the modern marketing timeline, I believe, is actually near 1440. And you know what happened then?
You're going to tell me, though.
Well, it was the invention of the printing press.
Oh, yeah, sure. Gutenberg.
The Gutenberg printing press.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to joke, and you know this joke already, but it ushered in two things. One is the modern world of marketing, and the other one is Lutheranism.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? My alma mater.
And especially in this area, that's a big deal.
Yes.
There's a lot of Lutherans around.
Of course. Of course. You can't swing a dead cat without hitting one.
There you go.
I love my Lutherans. But it ushered in those two eras. And let's talk about the timeline, because after that, nothing really happened for a long time.
Right.
You have the telephone in 1876.
Mm-hmm.
You have radio in 1910. You have TV in 1925.
Yep.
And then really from that point, you got to wait until 2007 to get to the iPhone.
Right.
So there's kind of an unpacked timeline in terms of larger channels. Here's the really interesting thing. So are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay. So the time to get to 50 million people in an audience,
mm-hmm.
it took telephone 75 years to do that.
Wow.
To connect 50 million people.
Sure.
Okay. So you know where I'm going to go with this. It took TV 13 years to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I can believe that.
It took Facebook 3.5 years.
Oh, no. Unbelievable.
Oh, no. Oh, but wait, there's more. Now the game Angry Birds.
Yes.
It only took 35 days.
Oh, gosh.
The point here is that channels.
Angry Birds win, right?
Angry Birds is the best marketing channel you could ever have. But the point is these channels are ever increasing in not only number, but also the way that they can impact large audiences quickly.
Yeah. And it seems to me on top of that, we've got 3 billion new people coming on the internet. So, I mean, it's like.
Yes.
You know, that just even escalates it farther in terms of speed.
That's right. Well, let's do a quick reminder here because we've been talking about some good stuff, but I want to let those that maybe just joined us know that they're talking with David and Justin on Working with Purpose. And you can join the conversation anytime at davidstarkcollective.com or on Twitter at Stark Collective. All right, Dave. So you started off with the story that I think is reminiscent of a lot of experiences that people have.
Yes.
They hate marketing.
Right.
They're allergic to it. They're scared of it. When you look at some recent information from Forbes and others out there, there is a lot of research that will back that up and say that millennials as a generation, just younger generations in general, don't respond well to advertising.
Mm-hmm.
They're not digging it.
Right.
And it's interesting because those groups still have a lot of buying power in terms of the economy.
Yes.
The most, in fact. Mm-hmm. It's the largest generation to have this much buying power that the nation has ever seen.
Right.
But also, they're buying things. The product and the price is still resonating.
Yeah.
The promotion piece of it isn't. The
right.
advertising piece is they're walking away in droves. So what gives, Dave?
Yeah.
Well, there are a couple of things here. They, like you said, they grew up in at age zero being heavily marketed to, but they also grew up with this digital sensory system that we've been talking about. They've
yes.
been networked.
Yep.
And they trust this network. This is their nest. This is their community.
Yeah.
And they trust that more so than they trust third-party brands,
mm-hmm.
at least initially.
Right.
Right. And so this is a big proponent of it. A couple of other things. If you look at the Forbes stuff, which we'll put in our show notes so people can get more information about that, what you find is that while advertising in its purest and oldest form or most traditional form isn't working,
right,
but other things are.
Gotcha.
So you have things, especially like content, that's happening in the form of blog posts, social media posts, applications on mobile phones. These things are resonating very, very well because they really allow folks to curate their own life and their own experiences and filter out the stuff that they don't want.
Gotcha.
So there's choice now that's in the mix that hasn't been there in the past.
Gotcha.
And that's what this generation is relating to. So a couple of quick examples, and then we'll keep the convo going. GoPro.
Tell me about GoPro.
So GoPro does a fantastic job, I think, of being able to resonate directly with humans in general, but especially the younger generation. Mm-hmm. They have really great content. I mean, GoPro is a camera that you strap to yourself in a, you know, when you're going skiing or mm-hmm. surfing or whatever, but it's a first person point of view of an experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so everyone loves to kind of see, well, you know, when I was actually surfing, what did that experience look like? And
sure.
view it again and share it with their friends. GoPro has this amazing collection of footage and still shots and photography about those experiences from all of the people that own GoPros.
Wow.
So they do great TV advertising, which is doing quite well.
Mm-hmm.
But they really leverage that with other what I call long tail experiences on social platforms like Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
I, for one, just went out and sought that content because it's so good.
Yep.
It's inspirational. It's cool stuff. You know, I just gravitated toward it.
Yeah.
So instead of them just pushing content at me, I actually went toward them because of something they're bringing to me, which is of utility to what I'm looking for.
Yeah. And does GoPro allow you to buy or download pieces for your own presentations? Is that how it works? Or is it just experiencing it itself?
Just experiencing it itself.
Uh-huh.
Right. And I mean, you can certainly take images like that and put it up as example and give them credit.
Yes.
Of course. But
yep.
I mean, it is just fantastically addicting because the environments are so awesome that these cameras are being used. And
yeah.
It just is great content.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to bring up one other one too, which is called The Big No.
com.
And it's The Big No, spelled K-N-O-W, as in knowledge,
yes.
Not as in yes and no. But these guys have built a platform that realizes that the role that many brands have now in today's landscape of marketing is to tell informative, educational, utility-laden stories.
Yes.
And to be able to educate consumers and while inserting their brand in an authentic way. Going back to your initial focus group,
yes.
This is a way that a brand can show themselves being relevant without being pushy and quote-unquote advertise-y. But it's called The Big No, and they're starting off in the healthcare space to take some of these very hard-to-reach topics and bring them back to something that the masses can understand.
Yes.
It's a fantastic example of how new content is kind of replacing the old form of advertising.
So what happens when I go on The Big No?
What happens is you're able to download awesome content and mm-hmm. be able to search for what's relevant to you,
mm-hmm.
but then also be able to take it as in the class form. So
cool.
You're basically educating yourself, and they create these little pods of education that allow you to create additional knowledge for yourself, but also you're realizing that that's connected to a brand that hopefully you'll begin to trust more.
Gotcha. Yep.
Yeah.
So I back up from all of this, and I think it's really important, Justin, at this point we're not saying don't market.
Right, 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 right.
We're not saying that. In fact, I love Daniel Pink's new book, which is To Sell as Human. In other words, we're all influencing people. That's part of what life is. And we do that not because sometimes intentionally, sometimes non-intentionally, we're back and forth. In fact, our brains are even wired
right.
to respond to each other, right? So it's not as if that's a bad thing along the way. What we're talking about is how do we do marketing in a social way? And you know, building, it's really about building relationships and engagement. That's a completely different way than thinking, I'm just here to sell.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's when, even if it feels authentic, it's like, but I don't even have a relationship with you yet. I don't even,
that's
why
right.
am I engaging here? You know, what is it that that's about? We'll talk a lot more about that piece along the way. But I want to go back to that point for a moment, and that is, you know, the younger generation, they want options, first of all, and they really, you know, they're going to go to their social networks because it's so much better to trust your good friend, what do you think of this,
mm-hmm.
than it is anybody's communication
right.
about a new brand or whatever it is. So I think we need to take a break at this point. So let's come back. We'll be back in about a minute, and you're with David and Justin on Working with Purpose.
Thanks for listening to Working with Purpose. Working with Purpose is a program dedicated to exploring topics around the intersection of faith and business and viewing leadership through the lens of the body of Christ. We'd love to have you join the conversation and dialogue with David and Justin, or sign up to receive blog posts, get updates on upcoming events and offerings, and much more. You can do that through the website. The web address is www.davidstarkcollective.com. That's davidstarkcollective.com. Or you can find them on Twitter, at Stark Collective. They also want to work with you to go beyond discussing these concepts to putting them into action. Both David and Justin are available to speak on a variety of topics related to working with purpose. They also team up together to advise and consult with businesses. Find out more by going to davidstarkcollective.com and opening either the speaking or consulting pages of the platform. Now let's get back to part two of Working with Purpose.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Working with Purpose with David and Justin. So, Dave, we were talking about a lot of different things before the break in terms of the definition of marketing and especially younger generations' aversion to marketing.
Yes.
And this notion that marketing now is much more of a social animal than it ever has been.
Yes.
So I want to start right there and basically do a slight little turn and say, you know what? It's always been social, Dave, to a good degree. And so I'm going to go right against our thesis for just a moment, and I'll bring us right back. But marketing in general has been good marketing anyway has been social because humans innately are social.
Right.
Something we talk about all the time. But you can draw some examples with things like Tupperware parties.
Sure.
That was inherently social, and that was before digital and social networks. But that was, you know, as a communal nature. It was persuasion, certainly, from a place of authenticity, you know, and a place where you're working with people that you know and trust and respect, and you most of the time, anyway.
Actually handling the product.
It was tangible.
Yeah.
You're right. It didn't involve pixels at all.
Yeah.
It was amazing. It was a different time.
Yeah.
But and even large-scale retail events. I mean, retailers have been doing experiential things for years because they know that this kind of thing works. You get a feeding frenzy and a communal nature, and people buy more when that happens.
Absolutely.
And so, but things are different now, and I do want to point that out and say, you know, the social piece that we have now is different because it's so in front of us in real time and accelerated. You know, you're always one click away from being able to tap into a social network in real time, not asynchronously, but right now.
Right.
And just one quick example from Neiman Marcus that I think is interesting. I know, Dave, you shop there all the time, and you're picking out new apparel and but they
when they're on sale, deep sale.
Right. But they have digital mirrors now, which allow you to, you know, take a look at yourself in the mirror and see if you like what you're putting on. You can also augment your reality by changing the color of the thing that you have on.
Really?
Yeah. So you don't have to change out all kinds of things, but it'll change color for you and be able to do other things, as well as allow you to instantly share with your friends on Facebook and other social networks to get a second opinion in real time if that's something you should buy.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, it's great.
I got to go to Neiman Marcus just to change colors.
That's right. And we'll put this in our show notes too, but it's called Memo Me.
Memo Me?
Memo Me.
Yeah.
And we'll put that in our show notes so people can check it out, but it's very cool. But a good example of the fact that, yes, we've always been social, but it's different now. It's real time, and it's always available for us to connect into the networks that we're connected to.
You know, as you talk about all this, I'm actually reminded of something in the Bible that's really relevant to this. Paul was in the second letter to Corinthians, chapter 4. He had just talked about really his experience of the gospel of receiving mercy and in chapter 3 and how with unveiled faces, you know, actually authentic faces, we see Christ. But then he goes here and says this in that text. He says, rather, we've renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience or every person's conscience in the sight of God. And what Paul's talking about is that with the gospel especially, we're not going to be deceitful. We're not going to be manipulative. We're not going to have some secret thing going on behind the scene. But our communication is going to be authentic. It's going to say this is what we're communicating, and we're appealing, persuading, if you will, to the conscience of people, allowing the Holy Spirit, if you will, to be the one that convinces them about the reality of the gospel. And I've always felt that these lines are sort of a moral capsule around communication. You know, that we should not be manipulated. We should not be, et cetera. We see it all the time. But what I'm saying is that's really important to sharing the gospel for Paul. And I think it's becoming more and more important with this generation. It's kind of saying, don't be deceitful with me, right? Don't manipulate me. I don't want to find out some secret clause in the fine, you know, writing, which everybody's afraid of, right? Yeah.
That's right.
So how do we, you know, do that in an authentic kind of way?
Right.
So I think that's a good way of reflecting on what's happening right now
in
the world.
Persuasion's not a four-letter word.
Right. It's not.
And I think that's what I love about that passage, too, is that it tells you that within the right context and with the right motives and the right, you know, authenticity and from a place of truth, persuasion is very natural.
Yes. In fact, you and I have a good friend in town, and his name is Doug Berg. He's been a serial entrepreneur in the digital space, but he has Trackif is the name of his company.
Yeah.
And what he's doing a lot with people is allowing people online to actually opt in to getting the communication. So, for example, say I'm looking at something on Best Buy or something like that, and it with Trackif, they actually will say, well, would you like to know when that's on sale? Or would you like to know when that's back in stock?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe we're going to give an upgrade to this. And so they're asking people, would you like to know that? Well, they're getting, as a consequence, 60% open rates when you actually ask somebody if they want it or not.
That's right. Yeah.
But, you know, you get some direct marketing thing, and it's way below 10% in terms of the open rate. And so that's just it's the same instinct of please treat me like I'm a human being.
That's right.
Right. Yeah.
Which is perfect. And I mean, of course, everyone out there is like, well, no duh, that's how I want to be treated. I'm a human, and I have feelings and thoughts and needs and goals. And, you know, if you treat me that way, I'm going to respect that. It's, you know, marketing is really a relationship between a brand, if you will, which is a collection of people, but it's a brand and other individuals. And they're humans, gosh darn it. And that's what I want to talk just briefly about, too, that in the past we've talked about this emerging phenomenon called human-centered design.
Got it. I want you to hold on to that. We should take a break for just a second. I want to remind you here that you're listening to Working with Purpose with David Stark and Justin Royer. You can join us, by the way, at www.davidstarkcollective.com or at Twitter @StarkCollector. Now, why don't you bring farther on that, Justin?
I like how you created some suspense there.
Yeah.
A little cliffhanger.
There you go.
Back to you in the studio. So human-centered design is something we've talked about. I want to say that as marketers, what we should be is also human-centered.
Yep.
So the same kind of phenomenon happening in design, I want to see happen in marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because you can go a couple of ways. You could be production-based, which is what the industrial age was, mm-hmm. which is the marketing of old, which is that we're going to create something, and then I'm going to try to sell it to you.
Right.
And that's exactly the opposite of what we need to be doing today.
Mm-hmm.
So human-centered design, I think, actually comes from 1 John 3:18, which tells us to let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth.
Yes.
It's those things coming together. I've got a list of 5 things we'll put in our show notes around human-centered design or human-centered marketing.
Yep.
But essentially, it begins with an understanding of consumers' needs and being able to observe and research.
Mm-hmm.
Co-creating with consumers, not just doing it in a vacuum, but co-creating products and services with them. Creating entire solutions that just think beyond the product. So think of Nike Plus and all the things they did with shoes and the experience.
Yes.
It's a great example. The other one, they need to price it based on the value to the consumer, not on what it actually takes for you to build it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So price it based fairly on what people will pay for it and how they value it. And then ultimately create impactful stories around and through content that are centered in meaning and utility.
Yes. And, you know, this reminds me back to the focus group. I asked them, well, how do you want to market to? I said that, and it's well, show me.
Right.
Or engage me, which is all of what those 5 points are about.
That's right.
You know, be with me in that process. You know, it's also just a reminder back into sales and the connection between sales and marketing. But sales is also a place where a good salesperson is finding out, do you really need this?
Right.
And saying, if you do need this, helping a person look at the pain they're going through or their needs or even the gains they hope to get, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or things they don't want to do, they hope that you do. It's
mm-hmm.
all that's about saying, how do we bring product and service together with what those things are? That's what good sales is about.
That's right.
And so it's that journey in terms of what's happening. And why don't you give us one more shot about Drucker, and then I'm going to close this after that.
That sounds great. I mean, Drucker basically said the role for marketing is to make sales superfluous. Right? You just said, you know, it's to know your your end users, your consumers, your customers, your humans' needs so well that you align your product directly to them that sales actually isn't even necessary.
Right.
Our friends at Slack, which is really a great product out there that's going to hopefully take away the world of email and allowing us to be more productive in projects.
Mm-hmm.
97% of their customer acquisition is through referral now.
Wow.
No sales team needed. It's an amazing example. We'll put that in our show notes.
That sounds great. Well, this has been a great conversation. I just feel through this whole thing like, wow, we're going in the direction of, let's be authentic. Let's not try to manipulate people. As Paul put it so well, let's just appeal to their conscience from a real product, a real service, build a relationship with them. That's right on with what's going on in the gospel. Thank you, everybody. Next week, we're going to be talking further down the road of this process, talk about planning together. We appreciate you tuning in. This is David Stark with Justin Royer at Working with Purpose.